172 at the bottom, 94 on the top. Okay, we're going to start six lines from the bottom of the page. The Rebbe is discussing that when a person does a mitzvah, not only do they elevate the physical world, but they're elevating their physical body, they're elevating their physical, the godly soul and the animal soul which is within them, and that normally when a person does a sin, so then they're existing and they're giving strength and credence and extra strength, so to speak, to the evil in the blood, and then the blood, the person is living from evil. On the other hand, when they don't commit a negative, they don't transgress a negative commandment, so then they're not in any way feeding evil, and on the contrary, they're elevating evil. So he says like this. And the last thing we learned is that when a person does a mitzvah, at the time they're doing a mitzvah, at that time they become what's called a Merkava, the chariot of Hashem. According to the Avos, the patriarchs were 24/7. The chariot of Hashem, meaning the horse goes only where the rider leads it. They went only where the Hashem led them. A hand gives tzedakah. At the minute he's giving tzedakah, or she is giving tzedakah, at that moment, the hand is completely subjugated and is called the Merkava, the chariot of Hashem. Hashem is leading it to go in the place that Hashem wants it to go. So he says like this, since the general living soul, meaning the animal soul, Shabbachlal is the soul which is in the general Jewish nation, Tia Merkava Kedusha Hashem becomes the chariot and subordinate Hashem, Azai gam klolus achayu she'ilam hazeh, then all the life of this world, which is klipas nega achshav, which is now the level of the neutral evil, teitzi oz mitumasev v'chalase, it will go out of its impurity and its illness, v'talu l'kedusha, and it will become elevated to holiness, li'es merkava l'Hashem, to become completely bottled to Hashem, v'zgalus kvedu, when God's glory will be revealed, Mashiach comes. The animal soul of the Jew comes in the neutral evil, which you could elevate. So therefore he says like this, when a person does a mitzvah, they elevate their animal soul. By elevating their animal soul, they elevate the entire world in it together. Not only are they elevating themselves, but everything in the world is elevated through the action of this person. And it's interesting because science lately found out that any action that a person does in a certain way will affect the whole world. If you create a wind, like this butterfly, moving...
The butterfly effect.
A butterfly moving its wings has an impact on the other end of the world. So, I mean, Taylor said this a long time ago. A Jew does one mitzvah, they impact the entire world. Not only do they impact this world, they impact all the four spiritual worlds, they impact everything all the way up to godliness. To the essence of Hashem is impacted by a Jew doing a mitzvah. So he says, then the whole world will be elevated when Hashem reveals Himself. But all kobasa yacht of all flesh will see the greatness of Hashem. V'yefi aleim and Hashem will shine upon them. Bahadar ga'enuzi with the splendor and glory of His greatness. The emelach ve'ed Hashem is kol ha'aretz. Hashem will permeate the whole world in a way that everybody in the world will see it. As it says in the pasuk you just quoted, that all flesh will see the mouth of God. And the Rebbe Rashab says that pasuk means, what do you mean all flesh will see? He says flesh will see God. That means even the physical flesh. It doesn't mean the intelligence of the person, the eyes of the person. Hunk of meat, as hunk of meat, is going to see godliness. That's how the Rebbe Rashab translated, V'rol kol basar yachtov. It doesn't say V'rol kol ish. It doesn't say every person will see. Basar means the meat itself, the physical flesh of the person, is going to see godliness. V'yisrael yiru ayin ba'ayin. The Jews will see eye to eye, like it was by Matan Torah. What happened by Matan Torah? It says in the pasuk, "Atah Horeis Ladas, you have shown to know, ki Hashem Hu Alikim, that God is God, Ein Eid Mulvadei, there's nothing but Him." That means, what happened at Matan Torah? Matan Torah was such a great revelation of Hashem that the souls, as we know, popped out of the body. They couldn't handle the greatness of the revelation of godliness. In fact, it says Hashem had to revive every Jew, Mamish Tchias HaMeisin, the resurrection, like with the dew. There's a level of dew that Hashem is going to revive the dead with when Mashiach comes. Hashem had to use that dew to revive the Jews, because there was such a great revelation of godliness. They saw such holiness that the soul couldn't stay in the body and the soul popped out. That happens now every time a Jew does a mitzvah. So Chassidus explains, why couldn't they handle it then? And when Mashiach comes, they're going to be able to handle it. Because they didn't have any mitzvahs yet. Like we're learning in this parak, that the revelation of Mashiach's coming is dependent on the mitzvahs we do during Golus. So because we're doing mitzvahs now, we are becoming vessels to be able to handle that great revelation of godliness. By Matan Torah, they didn't have the mitzvahs yet. If they didn't have the mitzvahs, they couldn't handle the revelation. So the neshamas popped out of the body, Hashem had to resurrect them. What?
Didn't Hashem know that that was going
to
happen?
Yeah, that's what he wanted to do.
So what does that do, though?
What did Matan Torah accomplish?
What, by giving Matan Torah and the souls not being able to handle it?
There's an expression in Chassidus all over the place that Matan Torah a second time is not happening. There was only one time Matan Torah. There's no second time Matan Torah. Okay? Later on in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe writes in a footnote that Me'ein Zahoya, there's a little bit of that revelation at the time of Matan Torah. Okay? But, I'll show one of these prokem. The Alter Rebbe says that Matan Torah accomplished that this revelation of God could be in the world. Okay, but at that time the Jews weren't ready for it yet. They weren't a vessel for it yet. The ultimate revelation will be at the time of Matan Torah. When Mashiach comes. The reason why we're going to be able to handle it then is because now we have the mitzvahs making this a vessel for it. But when it says that Hashem hu alikim ein eid mulvadai, by the way, it's normally translated as no other God. Ein'ed Mulvada, there's nobody but him. Chassidus explains, and Alter Rebbe later in Tanya says, Ein'ed Mulvada means there's nothing else but him. It doesn't mean there's no other God. That's a given. Ein'ed Mulvada means there's nothing else in the world but Hashem. He's the only existence of the world. And he says, Vaideza, through this, Yizbalu v'yizbatu l'gamri, when Mashiach comes, will become swallowed in and nullified completely. Kol hashalosh klipas tameis, all evil. Like the pasuk says, when Mashiach comes, evil will not exist anymore in the world. Ruach atuma avim in haaretz, and that's where the Medrash says an interesting thing. It says in the Medrash, you know, a pig is called a chazer. It says, why is a pig called chazer? Chazer comes from the word chozed. It says, when Mashiach comes, the pig is going to become kosher. Because evil will be removed from the world, so we'll be able to have chazer.
Does that apply to everything like milk and meat, or just chazer? Or just chazer?
I don't know. I never ate it.
Does it apply to?
I don't know.
Pink spot zones are chazer. But you know,
what?
So when a pig does a mitzvah, right?
Yeah. There is something happening right now. Yeah. Well, yes, true. Did you see it last time you did a mitzvah?
No.
The quote, the Friedegrab is expression for it. Now it's Munach Bakufsa. Kufs is a box. Now, it's like a trust fund. Picture a trust fund. Yeah? You put money into the trust fund, but it's not touchable until you reach a certain age. Okay? Every time a Jew does a mitzvah today, they are revealing godliness in the world. It's an ultimate revelation of godliness in the world. Right now, because of the darkness of the world and everything else, that is, it's money, but it's in the bank. When Mashiach comes, the trust fund is going to be open, and we're going to see everything that we accomplished throughout the duration of Golus. But there is no question that it affects us in a direct way. Because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, one mitzvah drags another mitzvah. One Aveda drags another Aveda. Okay? So Chassidus explains, how does it work? It's very simple. When you do a mitzvah, you become holier. Right? You're binding yourself to Hashem. Once you're holier, it's automatically easier to do another mitzvah. So one mitzvah brings another mitzvah. The same thing when a person, God forbid, sins, they become lower, they become impure, so to speak. So once you're impure, it's easier to do another Aveda. But it definitely impacts the world. There's no question it impacts the world now. When it will be ultimately revealed, though, that's when Mashiach comes. That's when it's going to be revealed. That we'll be able to see what we accomplished for the duration of 6,000 years. And it's all accumulative. So the trust fund is exploding. It's just waiting for Mashiach to come to open it up. He has the second key, so to speak, to the vault. You know, and he could open it up.
The only way to bring godliness down to this whole revelation of Hashem into this world is by Jumek Namitzvah.
Correct. Or?
There's no other way.
Yes, there is. In all your ways know Hashem. All your actions should be L'Shem Shemayim. Correct. Godliness does not come down by itself. No, godliness does not come down by itself. We call the shots if God comes or doesn't come. Like the Baal Shem Tov said on the Pasuk Hashem Tzilcha, Silcha means it's like your salvation, but it also means he's your shadow, right? Your shadow goes where you go. So if Hashem's our shadow, Hashem goes where we go. Or Dama Lamailam Mimach, know what's above you, the Maggid said, it doesn't only mean that there's God above you, it means Da Yishino Malamailo. What's going on upstairs is Mimach from you. So whether godliness is revealed, and this is what's so unique about the power of a Jew. The power of a Jew is so great that, it's a funny expression to use, but I'm going to use it and understand what I'm saying. We control God.
In a way, yes.
Not in a way. We control Hashem. By the way, the only reason we control Hashem is because Hashem set it up that way. It's not that because our actions are forced to affect Hashem, because us and Hashem have nothing to do with each other. Right? Hashem set it up. And this is Hashem gave the power by Matan Torah, by the way. This is what happened by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, when Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem set up the world in such a way that we control if Hashem is revealed or not. Impurity means concealment of God. Holiness is the revelation of Hashem. And only we could do it. Nobody else in the world could do it. When a non-Jew keeps the seven Noahite laws, Sheven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, a guy does not bring Kedusha into the world. A non-Jew does not bring Kedusha into the world. The seven Noahite laws that a non-Jew has to keep is to give a mashal in order for a person to run an office, to run a business, right? You need an organized office. Okay? You can't have a jungle and run a business. In order to run the business, so you need the custodian engineer, as they're called, we used to call them janitors. You need the people, the secretaries, you need the office manager, you need whatever you need. For what purpose? They're not doing the business. They're organizing the room in a way that the business can be run. Okay? In order for a Jew to do mitzvahs and bring godliness into the world, godliness can't come into a jungle. So all the seven Noahid laws are basically, which is a very important job, by the way. You know, the secretary and office manager sometimes more important than the boss. You know what I mean? In a certain respect, they're very important, but they don't run the business. The Goyim's job in the world is to make the world a civilized place. That's all seven laws have to do with civilization, not to steal, not to kill, moral, you know. All these things are to civilize the world. Now that you have a civilized world, a Jew can bring godliness, and the Jew can do the business of bringing elokus and godliness into the world. But the only one that can actually bring kedushin to the world is only a Jew. We have the ability to conceal God or reveal Hashem.
No way is there any...
There's no other way of doing it.
No, but there's no hint of this accomplishment at all till Mashiach comes?
There is, I said. When you do a mitzvah, it's easier if you do another mitzvah. You do mitzvahs, you lead a more structured life. So you run a better constructive life. Those are benefits you see.
Not always.
Because then they're not living a true Torah life. Bad things don't happen to good people.
I don't know. How do you know?
Learn Perchov of Tanya. We learned that already. Whatever. I know it's not so simple. But that's what Judaism says. Bad things don't happen to good people.
Right.
Bad things don't happen to bad people either. Bad things don't happen from God.
I have another question.
What's that? Let me just finish this one.
Wait, so
when the base of
the when a Jew does a mitzvah, they become more refined. The revelation of godliness that's going to transform evil, not only get rid of evil, but a higher level is actually the transformation of evil to become good, that will only be seen, the accomplishment, when Mashiach comes. Now, though, we are doing it. Mashiach comes, it's too late. What was done is done, and we can't do more things then to bring more light. He tell a story, a very rich man who never gave tzedakah, once he died, and he came up to heaven. So he said to him, "Sorry, sir, you're going to Gehenna. You got to go to hell." So he says, "Oh, okay, 1 minute, I'll take out a checkbook. You know, I'll buy my way out of it." So the angel in heaven said to him, "Sorry, sir, in this world, we only take receipts, not checks." Show us your receipts, that's what we take. Checks here, it's too late. It's too late to do anything. It's not going to accomplish anything. Today is the only time we could do. Why didn't Hashem make? He's a nice guy. You know, I think about Hashem, he's a nice guy. He's not as bad as we think he is sometimes. But why didn't Hashem make that when we do a mitzvah, we see a ray of light coming from heaven? Why? Because then it would be very difficult to have free choice in doing mitzvahs. Everybody would do mitzvahs. It would be very easy. But the Baidichver once complained to God, and he said to Hashem, "Listen, you know, you're not really fair. He said, all the temptations of the world you put in front of our eyes. The reward of Gan Eden you put in the books. I mean, honestly, we read in the books." He says, "What do you want? If you were to put Gan Eden in front of our eyes and the temptations of the world in the books, we would be much better." Right? And he's right. Why didn't Hashem do it that way, though? The fact that you understood this also. Why didn't Hashem do it that way? Because if we would immediately see instant gratification for all good deeds that we did, then we wouldn't have the real free choice. And then good wouldn't be as good and as rewarding and as accomplishing as it is now when we don't see what we accomplished and we do them anyway. I mentioned in the past there was a story. There was a European Jew after the war came to America, and his Rebbe was still in Europe. So before he came to America, he went into his Rebbe and he said, "Rebbe, there's no tzaddikim in America. Like, who are you going to get a bracha from In America, if you're in Europe and, you know, you couldn't call those days, it was very expensive. You couldn't call to get a bracha. So the Rebbe said to him a very interesting thing. He said, you go into a shul in America. This is what he told him. You go into a shul in America and you see a Jew putting on tefillin. And you look at his arm and you'll see that he has a number that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, wrote, you know, engraved in the tattooed into the person. He said, you go to that person, he is, and he's still in shul davening, he is holy enough to give you a blessing. The Rebbe said to him, if this Jew that lived through the concentration camps still goes to shul in America, he is holy enough to give you a bracha. But a Jew does a mitzvah under difficult times, then it's extremely rewarding. If it's done under simple, easy, it's not that. And that, why is it that what we do during Golus, the exiled Torah mitzvahs, is infinitely better than the Torah mitzvahs they did in the time of the Beis Hamikdash? In the Beis Hamikdash, there was a revelation of godliness, right? That the Beis Hamikdash people saw godliness. When Jews did mitzvahs then, granted they're in a body in the Yetzer Hara, they all said, but it wasn't worth nearly anything close to what a Jew does in the time of Golus. So you don't see miracles, all you see is problems and tzaras and everything under the sun, and the Jew still keeps mitzvahs, it's much more rewarding, and that's what Hashem wants.
Now, we have the power to bring godliness, right?
We have the power
to transform people
to good? On a specific level, yes. Generally speaking, no.
It's not our job?
Our job, no. On a individual level, we can break evil and transform evil. That means, what do you mean transforming evil? Okay? Without getting into the holy, holy things, you know, transforming all evil to Kedusha, if a person, let's say, used to have a temptation to sleep, okay? And now they break themselves and they take, what's a bad example of transforming it? A person had a desire to eat something, okay? And then they stop and they utilize that temptation, so to speak, to eat mitzvahs. Or somebody had enjoyment of reading non-kosher books. So not only did they stop reading the non-kosher books, now they utilize that desire of reading to read Torah books. That's a transformation of evil. In other words, in Perek Tes, in Perek Yud of Tanya, the Rebbe explains something very basic. Okay? You have, not Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe explains them what Alter Rebbe says. You have killing the Yetzer Hara, which is the lower level of a tzaddik, and then you have transforming the Yetzer Hara into Yetzer Tov, correct? So the Rebbe asks, if you kill it, how can you transform it? The incomplete tzaddik kills the Yetzer Hara. That's what the Gemara says. A higher level of tzaddik transforms the Yetzer Hara to a Yetzer Tov. Now the question, if you killed it, how do you transform it? Right? So the Rebbe explains, based on that part of Tanya, the Rebbe explains what it means is like this. The Yetzer Hara has an attribute called love. There's an attribute, a midah, called love. What does it love? It loves worldly things. Okay? When we speak about killing the Yetzer Hara, we don't mean killing the love of the Yetzer Hara. We're killing what the Yetzer Hara loves, but not the attribute of love. It loves temptations, it loved evil. That's what you kill. But the Midah, the love itself, you don't kill. You killed what it loved, which was evil. Now, stage two is to take that attribute of love, which doesn't love evil anymore, but it's like just there as love, you take that power of love and make it love Kedusha. So when you speak about killing the Yetzer Hara, you're not talking about killing the Yetzer Hara that doesn't exist anymore, because how can you transform it? You're talking about killing the evil of the Yetzer Hara, what the Yetzer Hara loves, what the Yetzer Hara fears. It loves forbidden things, let's say temptations and desires, whatever. That's what you kill. But you don't kill the love aspect of it. Now you go to stage two, you take the love and transform it into Kedusha. Anytime a person changes their habit from something negative to something positive, that's called transformation of evil. When Mashiach comes, all evil will be transformed to Kedusha. Now, individually, we have an ability to transform a love for something wrong to love something good. I'll give you a simple example in a medical sense, which is just a physical analogy, nothing to do with this. There are many people that were meat eaters. People who loved meat. Yeah? And they weren't fish eaters. Then they developed a medical issue, and the doctor said, you know more? You know what? No more meat, you have to start eating fish. Yeah? So you start eating fish, because they have to. Yeah? Many of them get to a point that they start liking fish so much, they dislike meat already. Okay? They probably can't stand meat anymore. The analogy is meat being the evil, let's say, and fish being the good, right? So sometimes you transform the love that you have for meat, evil, let's say medically evil, to something which is medically good. So that's possible by anybody. A person can have a love for trefa music, okay, and transform that love to holy music. That's possible. But a complete transformation can't be. That has to be a Mashiach come. Okay?